Genesis chapter 37. And I'm going to be reading from verse number 5. Last week, we started a series that we titled Uncharted. And basically, it's about a series to help you to uncover your hopes and your dreams with the purpose of actually fulfilling it. We desire to actually uncover it, discover it, and more importantly, fulfill it. And that's what this series is all about. And we did mention that last week we defined your dream, because we're going to be talking about dream a lot. We move from the literal dream to what dream is to you and her, using the example of Joseph, and we're going to stay with that even today. But just to recap, we defined a dream as that inspiring picture of the desired future. It's the inspiring picture of the desired future. And we say for your dream to actually get achievable, it must have its source from God. We said the source of your dream is what determines its credibility, is what determines its believability. It's also what determines the achievability, the ability to achieve it. Because don't forget, after all has been said and done, it is going to be the one who provided the picture that is going to supply the resources to be able to move it from just the picture captured into reality. So that picture must emanate from the source that has the power to bring it to physical manifestation, and that's God. So we said that the source is important, and we concluded by saying that the best way to discover your dream is not to run helter-skelter like the people of the world, finding out what are my dream, what is actually my dream, is actually to love God, to serve God, to seek God, and just wait for him, because he's more keen and interested to give you your dream than you are actually keen to receive it. You know, he's more keen to let you know about it than you are keen to actually obtain it. So it's not about running helter-skelter, checking all the self-help books. It's about seeking God. It's about loving God. It's about serving God. And in that process, just stay sensitive, because he's going to drop something, we call it a picture, into your heart. And that picture is the picture of your future. And he's going to supply the resources to be able to bring it to pass, because it is the source of it. So he's going to supply what it takes to bring it to pass. So it is important that we know the source of our dream and how to receive it, and we need to know that he's actually keen and interested to let us know about it much more than we are interested to actually find out. So it's on the platform of that we're going to be talking about today's teaching. I have titled today's teaching, The Serial Dreamer. The Serial Dreamer. Let's read the Bible. Genesis chapter number 37 from verse number 5. Genesis chapter 37 from verse number 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." Verse number 8, and his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Verse number 9, then he dreamed still another dream. I want you to pay attention to that, because that's going to form the fulcrum of our discussion and teaching this morning. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brother, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept this matter in mind. The serial dreamer. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this morning, breathe upon it. Let it come alive unto us once again. Lord, I submit myself under the authority of the Spirit of the living God, that you will guide my thoughts, guide my words in such a way, O Lord, that I will only be able to communicate your truth and what you have in mind to your people. Lord, I ask that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people so that, Lord, they will receive the word with the same accuracy with which it is going to be delivered this morning. Lord, let light shine from heaven and let it bring illumination into every dark recess in our mind so that, Lord, our dream will come alive again. Our hopes will receive a new life so that we will fulfill purpose and destiny in you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed, and the people of God say, amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, the serial dreamer, we're still with the story of Joseph, and we're going to be gleaning from this story because this story was written for our examples. Researchers and scientists all over the world have been working over the years to understand why serial killers, do what they do, to understand their psyche, to understand why they do what they do. What goes on in their mind that make them to commit, you know, heinous, grave crimes against humanity. But this much they know while they are still researching other aspects of the psychology and the reason behind why serial killers do what they do. This much they know, that serial killing or serial murder is predicated on three important elements, three key elements: time, number, and motivation. Time, number, and motivation. For the purpose of this teaching, we're just going to stay with the first one, time. The time element in serial murder is what distinguishes a serial killer from a mass murderer. A mass murderer gets into somewhere and just kill people, and he has multiple victims just at one go. But that's not exactly the way a serial killer will operate. A serial killer will cause a killing of his victim, and then he will wait for a few days or for some weeks or some months, sometimes even years, and then they will strike again. What you can always be sure of is that they will do it again. They will do it again. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And that's why responsible authorities, when they understand that this is actually a serial killer, you know, that is involved in this killing, they want to make sure they apprehend him and perhaps even take him out before the next time, because it's going to happen again. Now, lean forward, let me tell you something which we can glean from this, even though we have used a negative example. The heart of God, the desire of God, is that you become a serial dreamer. No, I didn't say a serial killer. I said a serial dreamer. In other words, you don't just dream one time. You dream again and again and again. Such that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Joseph. So Joseph was a serial dreamer. And so exactly is what God wants to make out of your life and out of my life. Not a one-time dreamer. Not somebody that once in a while, or once upon a time rather, had a dream. But having a dream and a dream again. A dream for your family, a dream for your finances, another dream for your spiritual growth and maturity and development, another dream concerning your church participation and the building of the kingdom. Goes on and on. That's exactly what God wants to make out of you and out of me. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 9 of the passage we have just read. The Bible says, then, speaking about Joseph, he dreamed still another dream. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. This is an example of a serial dreamer. Now, permit me to take you down the memory lane 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, perhaps even 40 years ago for some of us that are older. Now, that time, if you remember, there was no limit to at the amount of dreams that you could have. You could capture things. Your imagination was sharp. It was powerful. You could imagine anything. Your imagination was free to capture your future. You were able to dream about raising a great family, a God-centered family. You had a dream about raising kingdom children. You had a dream about living debt-free. You had a dream for a financially prosperous future. That was what you had. You had a dream to conquer the world, to preach the gospel, to minister to the people of God. You had a dream to live a healthy life, have a healthy body, to influence people for Christ. You had all of these dreams. As a person that is planning to become a trust person, you wanted to be a trust person par excellence. In other words, you wanted to excel in your line, in your chosen line, or in your chosen field. Can I ask you, what has happened to all of those dreams, and why are you not having that kind of a desire to dream again? The reason why I'm asking that question is that for some of us, we actually don't see a future. We don't see anything better than where we are now. What we see is same old, same old. If you ask, how are you going? What's going to happen? You can't even picture next year, not to talk about 10 years from now. For some reasons, you have lost that edge of dreaming. And I'm challenging you, people of God, today, that you are not supposed not to be excited about your future, but the excitement about the future comes on the heels of another dream. It's not just one dream, another dream, and again, another dream. Yes, you had a dream in years past, and it has not materialized, but that does not stop you from dreaming again. As a matter of fact, do you want me to tell you something interesting? Joseph had this second dream not because the first one was already accomplished. Joseph had this dream not because the first one had been accomplished and put in the bag. No, he had another dream in spite of the first one not yet being established. You stop dreaming about the future because of your past dream, perhaps because it did not materialize. But I'm challenging you not to allow that to dampen your spirit, because the Lord's desire is to make you a serial dreamer. Such that it's not just a matter of if, it's a matter of when you're going to dream again and again and again. To be honest with you, let's face it, the dreams that you had in times past, for some of us, the dreams we had in times past that is making us to be dampened in the spirit today, not to dream again because that had not taken place, was probably not from God. So some of us, we actually had ambition. It was just born out of mere ambition. No, I'm not suggesting that it's a bad thing to have a good ambition. No, not at all. It's okay to have a good ambition. But I'm saying that some of those are actually not necessarily product of our engagement with God, to the point that God is able to put something like that picture in our spirit, in our heart. They just came because of some other external influence, maybe from the family, maybe from what we see, you know, on TV or around us. I'm saying that maybe those dreams got fractured because they actually did not emanate from God. Now, having said that, I'm not suggesting that every dream that comes from God necessarily will have to come to pass. And that's why we are actually having this series, because there are dreams that are given by God that suffer certain things along the line so that eventually they don't materialize. However, having said that, that still is not an excuse to stop dreaming. That is still not an excuse to stop having dreams for your life, for your home, for your family, for your future, for your career, for your involvement in the building of the church work. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We already know that is settled. But you need a dream to be part of this great thing that Jesus is building. The fact that it has failed in the past is not a reason to not dream again. I'm saying that dreams are free. So you need to free your dreams. I will say that again. Dreams are free, so you need to free your dreams. Now, the question is, did Joseph actually dream again because the initial dream was realized? No. Joseph had the second dream not because the first one had already materialized, because God, just like in the case of Joseph, wants to make you a serial dreamer, someone that dreams again and again and again. A couple of things might have gone wrong with the previous dream. Maybe you had a dream that things are going to be much better than they are today. You had this dream that it's going to be a great family life you're going to have. You're going to have a great marriage. You're going to have a great business. You're going to have a great career. But just a few years down the track, you discover that it's not exactly so. And that makes your heart to sink. And you say, look, I'll just take it as it comes. No. The Lord still wants you to dream. Again, don't forget that great dreams actually come from Him. What we do is to capture the dream. He releases the dream. He puts it in our hearts. Our responsibility is to capture it and to pursue it. Now, let me ask you this question. What can happen to dreams to make them unfulfilled? I haven't established the fact that the reason why some of us are actually not excited about the future is because the previous dreams that we had was never accomplished. We need to ask the question, what can happen to dreams to make them unfulfilled? But before we go into that, may I say this very important thing, that great dreams don't come to you because you are a good person. Great dreams or for your life don't come to me because I'm a good person. Primarily, great dreams and good dreams come to you and to me because God is good. I'll say that again. Good dreams don't come to you because you are a good guy. Good dreams come to you because God is a good God. In other words, great dreams come to you not because you are good. They come to you because God is good. Dreams are given to you not as a reward of your goodness. They are actually the expression of God. They are given to you as an expression of His love and of His kindness to you. And that's exactly what we see in the case of Joseph. Joseph had a dream, not necessarily because he was a good guy. Joseph had a dream on the heels of the covenant that God has had with Jacob. And I will show that to you in a short while. His dreams came not on the heels of his conduct, but his dreams came to him on the heels of the covenant. As a matter of fact, Joseph is not the kind of guy that I want to have in my team. You know the reason why? This guy was always telling on his brothers. You know, I mean, in our high school days, there are certain guys that we don't want to have in our team. You know, you want to do some things, you know, we don't want the teacher to know about them, you know. And when the teacher comes in and he says, who are the noisemakers? There are some certain guys in the class that will tell all the noisemakers in the class. Those are not our good friends. They are not cool, in our opinion, because they used to tell of whatever we have done. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's a good thing to be a bad boy, but I'm saying that it's not a good thing to have people that tell on you in your team. And that was Joseph. Now, but why did God give Joseph the dream? Now, like I said, Joseph was given the dream on the heels of covenant. And I'm sure that he is going to give you another dream, not because you are great, not because you're good, but because he is good, because he's got a covenant of love with you. Now, look at what the Bible says in the passage we have just read, Genesis chapter 37. And I just want us to start from verse number 3. Now, let's start from verse number 1, please. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger. Note the name Jacob, verse number 1. Verse number 2. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph being 17 years old. And again, I want you to note the name Jacob. But in verse number 3, something happened. The Bible says, now Israel, stop. Now, it was called Jacob, verse 1. It was called Jacob, verse 2. But now when you come to verse number 3, is now being called Israel. Why? Now, what happened in verse 3 is actually what prepared the ground for what took place in verse number 4. The Bible says, now, verse number 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. And then in verse number 4, the Bible says, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. I could not speak peaceably to him. Verse 5 says, now Joseph had a dream. Now, you see the progression. Now, don't forget that all of these passages were written in verses and in chapters for reference purpose. You know, the original was put together. Now, one took place before the other. The first thing was that Israel loved Joseph. And it was on the basis of Israel loving Joseph that you now have the dream being released to him. Now, why did the Bible talk about Israel, not Jacob? Israel, we don't have the time. In Genesis chapter number 2, actually Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. The Bible said, God said, no, you're no longer going to be a supplanter, because the name Jacob means a supplanter, a cunning person, you know, a dubious person, you know. And then he says, no, you're not going to be that. You're going to be Israel. Israel means a prince with God. So that name was changed. And when you have a name change in the whole covenant, in the Old Testament, it's actually a sign, a symbol of a covenant. There is a covenant arrangement. So when in verse number 3 he says Israel loved Joseph, the reason why he substitutes the name just Israel for Jacob is because what is going to happen now is what takes place on the platform of covenant. So this was not just about Jacob as a person loving Joseph. This was a love that came on the platform of covenant, the covenant that God caught with Jacob. So invariably, you can say that this was actually a table of covenant. This love came on the platform of covenant. And then this love now culminated in the dream being given to Joseph. Now, what I'm saying in essence is this, people of God. God is going to give you a dream. Yes, he's given you before, but I am so sure that he's going to give you another one. And why is he going to give you that? Because of a covenant, the covenant of his love. Do you realize that Jacob did not dream because he wanted a dream? You know, Jacob had this dream because God wanted to give him a dream. God actually was the one that initiated the dream. As a matter of fact, do you also realize that the love that Jacob had for Joseph was not because Joseph did anything to merit the love. In fact, the attribute that made Jacob to love Joseph was not an attribute that emanated from Joseph. It was actually an attribute that emanated from Jacob. Do you realize that? See verse number 3. Let's see why he loved him. He says in verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Because he was the son of his old age. That was not Joseph's making. I mean, it wasn't Joseph that determined, okay, you guys go first, then I will come later. No, it just happened to him. And it wasn't Joseph that told Jacob that it should be a big deal coming at the later end, you know, of the birth tree. You know, it was Jacob that thought it was a big deal. It wasn't Joseph that thought it was a big deal. What I'm saying is that the love was predicated on an attribute, not the one that came from Joseph, but the one that came from his father, Israel. And like I said, it came on the platform of the covenant. And that's why you saw him, the Bible specifically talking about Israel in this instance. It wasn't a mistake. It was a display of the fact that this is actually an action that took place on the platform of covenant. The same way. The dream that God is going to give to you is going to come to you not because of the fact that you're good, but because of the fact that he is good. And he's going to come to you because he loves you, just like he loved. It was a special kind of love. As a matter of fact, if you look closely, it wasn't that Jacob hated all of the other children. The Bible says Jacob loved Joseph more. That word more means it's a comparative term. He didn't hate the others, but he just loved Joseph more. And he loved Joseph more because this love did not emanate from him. It actually emanated from God on the platform of covenant. Exactly the same way it is to you. God will give you a dream, and I'm challenging you to dare to dream again, because he's prepared to give you another dream. Not the ones that was fractured, not the one that was destroyed, but he's going to give you another one. And that's why I'm asking you to free your dream again. Free your dream again. Begin to dream again about a great family. Begin to dream again about a great marriage. Begin to dream again about raising kingdom children. In spite of the problems that your children may be giving you today, it is possible for God to bring a reversal. Begin to dream again about a future that is debt-free. Because he has done it before, he can do it again. I'm asking you to just trust him. Again, in verse... this particular, I'm talking about the fact that this took place on the platform of covenant. It was called Jacob verse 1. It was called Jacob verse 2. When it came to verse number 3, it was called Israel. But that was, in fact, if you look at verse number 37 to verse 34, the name Jacob came back again. Anytime it was a dealing with Jacob, between Jacob and Joseph, it was mentioned as Israel in this chapter. But in verse number 34, the Bible says, then Jacob tore his clothes. So it's not like the Bible, the Bible by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, forgot about his name. It's because it is important that you know that it is Israel in this instance. Israel, because it will come on the platform of covenant. All right? The covenant that you have is because the fact that you are going to have a dream is based on the goodness of God. It's going to come on the platform of the covenant, the new covenant that came through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't care what happened to your previous dreams. I believe that God can give you another one. And in fact, he wants to give you another one. So I'm asking you and challenge you to dare to dream again. Of course, many things could have happened to your previous dreams. There are several things that do happen to dreams. And I'll just give you a couple of things that could happen to dreams, you know. We've got what we call shattered dreams. Shattered dreams are dreams that were never realized. As a matter of fact, they are not just not realized. They actually became a nightmare, you know, in the sense that there was a dream, a plan to achieve something, and then it was completely opposite of what you are planning and are hoping to achieve that took place. Then it became a nightmare. You remember the story of this woman called Ruth in Ruth chapter number 1? The Bible says that herself and the husband and two boys, they actually left, you know, they left Bethlehem to go to another land called Moab. Their desire was to go and, you know, make a life and a living for themselves in this foreign land. But unfortunately, when they got into this land, the man died, the two sons died. It was just the woman alone that was coming back to this land. In fact, it was only the woman that came back to this land, apart from the fact that Ruth, her daughter-in-law, decided to come with her. As a matter of fact, when she was coming back, they started calling, Naomi is back, Naomi is back. I said, no, Naomi is not my name anymore. Call me Bitter, call me Mara, because Naomi means pleasant. But he said, my experience does not actually in any way fit that name, because I went out full, I'm coming back empty. That's a shattered dream. And some of you have that. You've got this great dream, you had this great dream in yesteryears, but it got shattered, it got completely destroyed. That's one kind of dream. Then there is another one that I call abandoned dreams. Abandoned dreams are dreams that you've got that you leave without any plan to come to them again. They were great dreams when you started, but at some point you just dropped them and you went away. You remember the experience of Peter. Peter in John chapter 21, the Bible says, he says, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. You know, he dropped the preaching of the gospel and he was going to pursue his fishing business and he had no intention to come back. Those are abandoned dreams. And some of you do have that. You have dreams that you used to have that you left and you have no plan to go back to them. And that's why they will remain unfulfilled. The third kind of unfulfilled dream is what I refer to as repressed dreams. These are repressed, these are buried dreams. They are great dreams, but at some point, for some reason, you chose not to do them. Now, for abandoned dreams, you walk away. Repressed dreams, although you understand it, you understand what is required to fulfill it, but you decide to choose to go exactly the opposite direction in an attempt to actually frustrate its fulfillment. That's exactly what we call repressed dreams or buried dreams. And that's the example of Jonah. Jonah knew exactly where God wanted him to go. But you know what he did? He actually paid his own fare to go in the opposite direction just to be able to frustrate that dream from coming to pass. That's what we call repressed dreams. So you have shattered dreams, you have abandoned dreams, you have repressed dreams, and of course you've got downsized dreams, you know. What I refer to as downsized dreams as dreams that when it came into your heart, it felt too big, and you said, look, God, I need to help you here. Can we reduce the size of this dream so that you can at least be able to fulfill them? That's exactly what we see in the case of Abram and Sarai, the wife. When God gave them this great dream that they were going to have a child at their old age, he said, God, don't bother, you know, don't bother. Just let Ishmael. Ishmael was a boy that was born from Hagar, the maid servant. Just let Ishmael live, It's okay. Don't bother. Don't bother to bring anything through us, because we can't capture that dream. That's what I refer to as downsized dream. Genesis chapter 17, verse 18 talks about what I've just said. And then finally, you have what I refer to as dormant dreams. Dormant dreams are dreams that God gave to you, but you never actually at any point in your life explore them. They're just there, quiet, you know, and they're just rotting away. You remember when the angel appeared to a man by the name Gideon in Judges chapter number 6? He said, "You are a man of valor, mighty man of valor." And he said, "Who are you talking about?" You know, because that dream was already dormant. Now, and that's why, you know, I love what a man by the name of Les Brown said. And I'm going to share the quote with you talking about dormant dreams. He said, "The graveyard is the richest place on earth." Some of you are probably familiar with this, because it is here that you will find all the hopes and dreams that were never fulfilled, the books that were never written, all because someone was too afraid to take the first steps or determined to carry out their dreams. That's exactly correct. Those are dormant dreams. Today, people of God, I'm daring you to dream again, because God has not made you a one-time dreamer. He has made you a serial dreamer. Why? Because shattered dreams could actually get restored. Abandoned dreams can be repossessed. You know, repressed dreams or buried dreams can actually be uncovered and raised back to life. You know, downsized dreams can be resized, and dormant dreams can actually get activated. You know why? All because of Jesus. Can I tell you something? This is exactly why Jesus came. Jesus came to ensure that he brings out, to search your life, the rubbles of your life, looking for unfulfilled dreams, looking for shattered dreams, looking for abandoned dreams, buried, dormant dreams, repressed dreams, and bringing them back to life again. That was exactly why Jesus came to this earth, to be able to help you dream again, so that you are not going to be the one that does not see any future. No hopes, no dreams, no future. That's why he came. You remember he met a woman, John chapter number 4, by the well. This woman had no dream for the future with regards to her marital life, because she has already been married 5 times. And that encounter with Jesus changed her life forever. There was another woman, a widow, in Luke chapter number 7. This woman, the only son, think about it, the only son that she had was dead. They were actually carrying the boy out to be buried. This was a dead dream, as it were. Don't forget, in their day and time, they did not have any social security. Their social security and their sustenance as women is actually bound together in their children. In this case, the only son she had, her future was gone, going to be buried right in her presence. And Jesus said, "No, no, no, that's not going to happen. While I'm here." And the Bible says she raised that boy back to life, because that's what Jesus does. He comes back into the rubble of our life and begin to bring dreams to come back again. And you remember there was another time he was actually in the last stage of his life, you know, few minutes perhaps away from death. And this thief on the cross had no future, not to talk about eternity with Christ. But he cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ, "If you will only give me one more chance to live in paradise." His dream was to live in paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had not done anything to merit that whatsoever. Jesus was bleeding, was gasping for breath, just in the process of giving up the ghost. But Jesus knew that he would still need to help this man. Otherwise, his eternity was finished. His dream to stay in eternity with Christ was going to be finished. And in that pain, in that agony, in that very difficult moment, at that time, that Jesus could have focused more on other things other than the dream of this man to spend eternity with him, Jesus said, "Today, not tomorrow, you're going to be with me in paradise," because that's why he came. And that's why I'm challenging you today, that you need to come back again and bring your dreams back to life. And God is actually in the process of doing that. If you're going to be willing to open your heart and say, "Lord, I'm ready to dream again." And you know the interesting thing, as I begin to round up, you will be amazed that when God will come into your situation and circumstance, when he will touch that, so to say, buried dream, abandoned dream, shattered dream, He actually wants to give you another dream. And this time, this dream is actually going to be better than the first one. I just need you to be prepared for it, because what it will come across, what it will bring across your way will probably be will blow your mind, because it's going to be bigger than the first one that you have been struggling with to even bring to pass. That's exactly what we see in the life of Joseph. Look at what the Bible says in 37, in chapter 37, Genesis chapter 37. Look at what it says in verse 9. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream." Stop. You discover that he had a dream before, and this dream was his sheaf, you know, standing tall, and his brother's sheaves bowing down. Now he had another dream. Now, this time he said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream," and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Do you know what that means? When God was going to give Joseph another dream, even though the first one was not yet fulfilled, we don't know the distance of in terms of time, you know, how soon or how far away from the first dream. But what we are sure of is that the first dream was not yet, you know, realized. But when God was going to give another dream, he did not repeat the first one. He actually gave something bigger. The first one was terrestrial. It was earthly. The second one was celestial. The first one was just him and his brothers. There was an expanded vision the second time. The Bible also actually talked about the sun and the moon. And when they were going to interpret it for Joseph, in fact, it was not Joseph that brought the interpretation. It was his brothers and the parents. He said, "You mean me and your mom and your brothers are going to bow down before you?" That was not included in the first one. Now, what I'm saying is this, people of God. I don't care what has happened to your previous dreams, you know, about a family life, a great family life, about raising kingdom children, kingdom kids, about your finances, you know, about being debt-free, about a healthy body, whatsoever it is. I'm saying that if you're ready, God is able to take you on another journey, is able to plant into your heart a picture. But this time the picture is going to be far bigger than the first one. And I'm challenging you, when this bigger picture comes, please don't throw it away, because he's in the business of showing dreams again, because he wants to make you a serial dreamer. Your future is secured in him. That's why he wants you to dream again. Don't look at tomorrow as if it's void, it's null, that you're finished. No, you're not finished. You're not finished. Why? Because he finished up. He finished the job. That's why he says it is finished. And he's coming to you today to help you to be reminded of the fact that you can dream again. I'm challenging you, dare to dream again. What I'm saying is, don't give up on your dreams. But more importantly, don't give up on dreaming new dreams. But the most important is that don't be too scared to capture the new, bigger dreams that God is going to bring across your way. Why? Because dreams are free. Therefore, I challenge you to dream freely. I mean, I had serially. Dream today, dream tomorrow, dream next year, because you are a serial dreamer. You have been called into the world of Joseph. That means you have been called into this world of a serial dreamer. Let us pray.